Do we have any committees who wish to give brief updates? And I heard Jean and Pam at the same time, exactly. Pam first.
Thank you, Jean. What a gentleman you are. Thank you. I wanted to talk about credentials for just a moment.
If we can have quiet, please.
Before I do that, I want to thank Roger for the suggestion about the air, even though it's on a bit. At least it's going off. And I wanted to take issue with the fact that when I received my door prize, for which I'm very grateful, I noticed that the envelope containing my cash door prize is not accessible. There is no Braille. So I'd like to address that, and I know someone from the Greater Los Angeles chapter is in the room because he just won a door prize. So,
you guys, if we could have quiet from the floor, please.
I remember, I recall having this discussion at a convention about railing the envelopes in which door prizes are placed. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, guys. Regarding credentials, Bernice so astutely brought to my attention that we need to address at some point with Constitution and bylaws the issue of name changes in chapters and the legalities and so forth, the logistics of it, before we have our next convention, so that I will address the chapters in their legal name. And I'm very grateful to Bernice for her bringing that to my attention so we can do that. The situation with credentials is, I want to remind everyone, because it's a long time before our next convention, that, and I will send reminders with Jeff's permission, that the credentials and the dues are due by February 15 of that year, just prior to the convention. And if there are any situations where that's not possible, or where something has arisen where you're having a difficulty or a hardship, the key word here is communication. If you'll communicate, please, with Ed Branch, Administrative Assistant, or myself, we will work with you and make things happen. But we can't do it if you don't communicate. And if the communication is not there, there's going to be a problem with the seating. This year, I did exercise some leniency because of the fact that this is a transitional period and it's taking some getting used to. So next year is going to be a little more stringent, but I'm still willing to work with you if I know about it. The other thing is, when we send out the request for information, it's imperative and mandatory that you place the proper information in the proper fields, not just an email where it requests a street address and an email where it requests a phone number, because if that does happen, the chapter won't be seated. So we need the correct information, and we need it in the correct order and in the correct place. And if you guys would please do that, and I hope I'm just preaching mostly to the choir, but we've had situations, and I'm just trying to clean this all up so everybody can be seated. And I thank you for your time. Thanks a lot. I love you guys.
Thank you. In the Constitution, it does state roster with complete information, officer information sheet, credentials, and, of course, your dues. And all of that is in the Constitution. So you're getting lots of notice. And as Pam said, if you need assistance, you can definitely ask for that. But all of those items are now required by Constitution. So did you need to finish your... Okay.
I'm sorry. It also includes members' information. When we don't have complete information on a member, even if their dues have been paid, we can't count them because of the auditing procedures. So, and we did have that situation with a few chapters, and thankfully they're very understanding about it, but we don't want to do that. So, you know, give all the information on all members and including dues, of course, and then we can do that. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Correct. That's perfect. I forgot to explain that. Gene.
Okay. I'm going to wear, this is different hats for different committees. First is the chair of the Conference and Convention Committee. is our intention to have at the this coming Friday's connection to have the evaluation form. But and what I want to ask is that please, as many people as possible, respond. We usually get maybe 20 to 30 responses, and we know there's more people, but it's really critical because we've tried several different changes, and even if there's things that you liked or disliked that doesn't fit into any of the categories, the questions you have, there is, like, at the end, other. Please, please put whatever those comments are. That will help the committee and whoever is the chair of the conference and convention committee and the makeup of those individuals who are on that committee. So it's really critical for that to give us some direction. As you know, Friday mornings we have the joint program, the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, and the Committee on Access and Transportation, and we had very fortunate, the Project Action, Easter Shields Project Action, was able to send one of their trainers to come out here, which they normally do not send out people to conferences and conventions. It's high priority ones, just like they'll be sending Donna Smith to the ACB convention in Las Vegas. They don't have the money to do it as much as they'd like to, so a lot is done online, webinars. So we're very fortunate at that, and what I'm leading up to is we have the recognition. They think, different groups think of the California Council being very important and worthy to send people out from D.C. And we are needing to know, since we're going annually, Bernice Kandarian is the president of the CCLV, and I need to know what are some of the topics you really feel strongly about at our next convention, which will be somewhere in Southern California, so that we can best address your needs. I got some ideas from people yesterday afternoon, but we want to hear from more of the people on that. The other thing now, as the chair of the Committee on Access and Transportation, two bits of information. I know the audience is rapidly disappearing. But and it's amazing Friday night didn't ramble about this around transportation. There's a 45-day comment period to start on March 21st in California for changes to the California Building Standards Commission, chapters 11A that deals with public housing, and chapter B that deals 11B that deals with the Division of State Architects Authority. And there's a lot of things in there to deal with destination-based elevators. A lot is modeled on the California requirement. One thing that I've been running into a roadblock is that on these elevators, the industry says they can do it. They do it in San Francisco, but I can't seem to get in requirements. Instead, when the access button is activated, that the display be what most people have said they like, is white characters on a black background. They just leave it light on dark or dark on light. They know specificity. It's going to be really helpful for people, and we'll try to get the word out, start with through Bernice, to kind of respond on that. That's really important for you to have the actually adequate contrast on the displays or the touch screens. They need to get that more than just for myself. And that's a change there. I am struggling through a 900-page document of exciting regulations that succeeds to put you to sleep within minutes after you start going through. But anyway, that's something to alert you about that. The other thing is, and this is my, as a member of the ACB Environmental Access Committee, a document was brought to us just about now, I guess 3 weeks ago, from the National Institute of Building Sciences, which is a document that's been developed, they've been working on for 5 years, and it's to come up with guidelines for persons who have low vision for the built environment. and they were asking for our support. And this is to do with lighting, contrast, a variety of things for the building, because they're saying that very little is in the ADA or other federal statutes. And if there's some things like talking about that every building should have a transition spot from a corridor that's entering an atrium in a building like a Hyatt Regency, that you have a little part of the corridor be a transition period where you go from change from one lighting setting to another one. These are some of the things they're talking about, even linens, tabletop linens, tables being contrasting. So the deadline was April 4th, but right now the Environmental Access Committee has reserved the right, asked that they have opportunity to provide more input. I know there's going to be a call that I'm going to miss later today on this, and they're planning to put some more things. If you got those of you who have low vision and really have some specific issues, please send them, email them to me this week. I mean, really quickly as possible at my email address, Lozanoe, that's Lozanoe, at csus.edu. That's the quickest way. Give me the things as specific as possible. If you got some wording to suggest, go ahead, but let's have it. And I mean, time's the essence on this. And no, we did not know about this. And I don't know whether I got the sense that they didn't even know the state, the national organization, Low Vision, didn't have it yet. I understand members of this committee that have been working on it are members of the Virginia Council of the Blind and had never brought up to their affiliate either. So, and there's probably the majority of the people are architects and other specialist professionals, and with a small handful of people with low vision representing groups. So please give them to me so then I can funnel into it so that the ACB National Office can then forward them on. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Smith, I think, has a question, and then several people do. Ed's coming around with a mic.
Gene, I commented from CCVLI regarding those that whole the build out regulation proposed standards, because CCCLVI asked me to take a look at them, and I got them about 2 weeks ago, looked at them, and commented briefly to them about a week ago. So at least we did get them, and CCLVI has commented, and I know specifically I commented about the school bus yellow for curbs and curb cuts and warning areas, and I'm trying to remember what the other issue that I thought was very important. I commented specifically about traffic signals, because I thought that was one thing that was lacking in that whole report. But basically, it was a very comprehensive report. I was very impressed with what I saw.
Could you, Dan, send copies of your comments to
all of
Gene?
You who have done that, send it to me so we can at least reinforce it there. Because there is a individual, a member of the EAC, who is very much opposed to yellow. So it would be really good there, despite other committees' people. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Ron Brooks.
Go ahead.
Yep. I just want to comment on something that Gene alluded to in his report, and that is the participation of Project Action in your conference. Project Action faces a very uncertain funding future in reauthorization. They're funded by technical training money from the federal government, and I'm not sure that money was very much in play in the reauthorization. We didn't do a resolution, and I didn't think to suggest one, but it might not be a bad idea if you guys are of a mind to have the California Council issue a letter to the each member of your very large California delegation in the House and Senate, just acknowledging Project Action, informing your delegation of their participation and of the value that they bring to the discussion between the disability community and the transit industry, and just urging the delegation to support Project Action. They would never ask because they're not allowed to lobby, so I'm doing it on their behalf. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ron, for bringing it up. And also, I want to thank you, Ron, for your excellent contribution, too. And I'm sorry, you played a big role in the that Project Action workshop. And I think we would not have gotten everything that we did cover if you hadn't been present. So thank you very much.
Okay, next comment or question?
I don't know whether we want to lock too much on particular colors because the real detectable difference is brightness. The term color contrast is actually, it's starting to change to just contrast. Because you can have perfect color contrast and no real contrast.
Ed, so, just let me comment something on that, too, is we're all in agreement about the visual contrast. Yes, that's important. But also what has to be accepted, too, and I'm not focusing on you, but there is a lot of research that has been done with people with low vision, different eye conditions, that have found that yellow is a color that a lot of people on top of the contrast recognize. And there is an individual who, because they do not have that ability to see that color, then thinks no one else should have it. And so we should not at the same time not consider when there's certain colors people can see and there's documentation of it either.
So you're talking more about usage here then also?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
And this is a wonderful debate that continues.
No, but this is not the appropriate place.
Yeah.
We're not, I'm not debating. I was just trying
to clarify. But it's
debating.
I'm sharing with you is that we definitely need to get together and share some history because this is an issue near and dear to the community, and we're all pretty strong on all areas. So thank you for making that comment. Next comment.
I see no other hands, Madam Chair.
No other hands?
Excuse, there is one.
Okay. Do we have... Oh, wait. Ed's on the run, so maybe there is a...
Just really quickly, this was a comment not towards this subject, but it was one just prior in regards to Pam's sharing accessibility when it comes to raffle prizes in envelopes, that it be Braille. I'm sure sometimes we have last-minute individuals that submit donations in envelopes, and that's not always possible. It's wonderful to be able to have accessibility, but sometimes those last-minute entries, we definitely would want to welcome them. That's all I just wanted to share. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? By the way, she still will not let me near that giraffe. Oh, another one. There are two against me. Okay, do we have any other committees who wish to share updates? Yes, Mitch.
I haven't talked about the Committee on Employment Assistance for a while, and particularly... since it was mentioned last night, Committee on Employment Assistance has had a no-interest loan fund for over 30 years. That fund currently has something in excess of $22,000 in it, and it's available to individuals who need such equipment to retain and or acquire employment or self-employment. And every few months, the president bugs me about writing something for the BC.
Yes.
And hasn't happened so far.
No, he doesn't obey.
I will not commit to do it shortly, but I know it has to be done. But to let folks know, that fund... At least while I chaired the committee previously, I think over a period of years we had assisted something in excess of 30 people to get equipment. I don't know what happened during the few years I was not chair. We currently, at least since I became chair again, we have assisted two individuals, one of whom completed paying back the loan late last year, and the second individual is in process thereof and should have paid back the loan by the end of this year. So just to let folks know, it is something that is available. You don't have to be a CCB member, but we really do have the ability to provide some assistance to you if you need equipment that is employment related.
I heard that about a BC article.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now you're going to have to deal with two of us. You can deal. Yes. Any questions first? Any questions?
More committee?
Question on CEA. Okay. Linda.
Is there a prescribed time period for repayment of such a loan?
All right. Mitch will respond when he gets a microphone. Ed's running back and forth. They're on opposite sides of the room.
Linda, it's contingent upon the amount of the loan. The requirements have changed a little bit since I wrote the originals back in 1983, but typically the payment period is up to 3 years.
And it's monthly payments.
And it's monthly payments.
Yes, that are submitted. Any other questions on CEA? Any other committees wish to give update? Okay, seeing none, or hearing none, let's do our last drawing for the $80 door prize. From an anonymous donor, I hear. Deborah Thompson, are you in the room? Nope. Warren Cushman, are you in the room? Bill Gillespie, are you in the room? No, CCB doesn't want to take this donation. No. Thank you so very much. Congratulations, Bill. I wish to thank each and every one of you. The next convention, you will have Jeff Tom as your presiding officer. I wish to thank you for these past several years. Thank you for the Life Membership Surprise. And do I have a motion to adjourn? Second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you.